Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ, and good to see you gathered at the end of this Lord's Day, friends. And please remember, if you're not in too much of a hurry at the end of the service, there's tea and coffee in the large hall. But let's now worship God together as we sing Holy Wisdom, Lamp of Learning. The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." Let us pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to you for the blessings of the Lord's Day. To open our eyes on this day and to know that the prospect of meeting with our brothers and sisters in Christ, of being in the presence of your word and having opportunity to pray and to praise your name. And we thank you that those opportunities, that presence and those blessings remain with us until we close our eyes on the Lord's Day. And so we pray that tonight you would bless your servants tonight, as you blessed all those in ancient days as they gathered to worship you at the end of a day. We pray that you would enable us to know peace from Zion as we sing your praise and as we give glory to the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask that you would enable us to have a warmth of heart as we pray together, that we would have clarity of mind as we focus upon your word, and that our hearts would be filled with the assurance of Jesus' presence with us, leading us more deeply into his truth. We pray, O Lord, that you would enable us to emerge from this time as a people who feel blessed in the freedom that we have to worship and in the opportunities that we will have to bear witness to all that we know to be true and to share that love given to us by your Son to all those who are in need. We're sorry that so often in the past perhaps our attitude has not been right as we've come to worship, with resentments casting a shadow deep within us, with half-heartedness in the things that have fallen to us in our service in the kingdom, and with a distrust of your ways of us, wondering how it's possible for us to know your love and your goodness when so many challenging experiences are falling to us. Lord, we ask your forgiveness, and we pray that you would enable us to experience your forgiveness so that the burden is lifted from our souls and we are fit to be your instruments in our community and in our nation. And we pray this for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our prayer for understanding, friends, is part of a modern setting of Psalm number 1, and we'll remain seated to sing this together. How blessed are those who do not stray, led by the wicked's talk.
We're going to read together in Psalm number 55, which is on page 575 in your church Bible. Psalm 55. Very strange psalm. And a psalm which has its own disorganization, as we will see. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked. For they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and the storm." Confuse the wicked, O Lord. Confound their speech. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng to the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave, for evil finds lodging among them. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, and yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. And we sing again in 5:3-2. Lord, you have come to the seashore, neither searching for the rich nor the wise, desiring only that I should follow. Well, friends, I wonder if you're able to walk serenely through the storms of life and then lay your head gently on the pillow and quietly sleep while the storms rage around you. Probably not. I doubt that anyone can. And Christians are not immune from stress and anxiety. We are all fragile. And if the storm is fierce, we can all flounder. So where is our help when we are crying in the storm? We're going to have a look at this psalm and see if David can help us to find that help which God gives. David is experiencing a prolonged period of extreme stress and anxiety, and he has all the classic symptoms. Notice the text, verse 2. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. One of the classic symptoms of extreme anxiety is mental confusion and the distracted restlessness that it produces. Have you ever heard yourself saying, I just can't be at peace. I can't concentrate. I don't seem to be able to focus. David's thinking has become confused and muddled. And you sense that as you go through the psalm. There are so many elements in it that are all thrown together in a haphazard way. Our English translation tends to soften all of that, but it's still there. Sometimes he breaks off in mid-sentence and launches off in a different direction so that the reader is left suspended in mid-air. My thoughts, he says, trouble me, and I am distraught. There is mental confusion in the psalm. For example, verse 11 ends and then verse 12 comes in from a totally different direction and has a quite different purpose. David's thoughts are muddled. There is mental confusion. But there is also paranoia. Verse 3, David is aware of a palace plot. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy and the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me. He's aware of a palace conspiracy against him. But then in verses 9 and 10, wherever he goes, he senses people's eyes upon him. He hears their whispering. Confuse the wicked, O Lord, confound their speech, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls, malice and abuse and within it. Destructive foes are at work in the city, threats and lies never leave the street. He knows there's a palace plot, but suddenly his whole perspective has gone and everyone is talking about him, or so he thinks. He hears their whispering. It's a classic case of, I might be paranoid, but that doesn't mean to say they're not out to get me. For David, the whole city is now out to get him. And none can be trusted. Every man is his enemy. So there's mental confusion. And there's paranoia. And there is profound emotional suffering in this psalm. And you feel it in verses 4 to 5. David piles word upon word trying to express the intensity of his pain. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. The anguish of his heart, the terrors of death, fear, trembling, and horror. So there's mental confusion, and there's paranoia, and there's profound emotional suffering. And then the symptoms that follow that. David says his heart is at anguish. The literal Hebrew says, my heart writhes in my guts. All of his inner organs have twisted themselves into knots. We might speak of it as an anxiety that is gut-wrenching and stomach churning. And what does he do? Oh, he desires just a simple escape. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. But he knows he can't. And he's completely trapped. I wonder if you've ever felt anything of that. Maybe someday you will. I think it's reassuring in this psalm to hear David's cries in the storm. And it's reassuring because we remember that David is no coward. And the man who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," had a close walk with God. If a man as brave and spiritual as David could suffer such an overwhelming attack of anxiety, then clearly no Christian need ever feel guilty when they pass through a similar experience. And yet in my experience, Christians often do. When extreme anxiety falls upon them, when they become afraid of what's around them, when they begin to slide into depression, guilt follows. I must be weak. I can't cope. I can't be very spiritual if I feel like this. And sometimes I point them to that psalm, and there I say to them, "Is a man of courage that we do not share." David, who went out to face Goliath with a handful of stones and a sling. David, who was maybe one of the most spiritual men in the Old Testament, who could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even if you lead me in the paths of darkness, you are with me." It's David who comes to this. And if it could come to David, it can come to any of us. It is not a lack of courage, nor is it a lack of faith to be overcome with all the emotional struggles that life can bring. In a way, it's reassuring for us to hear David's cries in the storm. Faith doesn't immunize us from stress and anxiety, but it does give us resources to help us. Thought the organ was going to blow up there, and that was making me somewhat anxious. David is crying in the storm. So, what are the resources he has? Well, there are anchors of faith that help David to cope in the storm. And they're all found within the psalm. Now, we need to be clear. By prayer, and I wouldn't want to suggest that if you're anxious about something, all you need to do is recite a few sentences with the word "Amen" at the end and all your cares will just dissolve away. That's nothing but sheer pure superstition. Prayer is not a magic wand that dissolves all David's troubles, but rather it's the place where David finds the anchors of faith that God supplies, the anchors that will keep him secure while the storm is raging. And I think it's perhaps that reason why this psalm is in the scriptures, because what God wants to commend to us, just this kind of praying. Four things. And the first one is this. The first anchor that prayer supplies is the truth that our God is a listening God. Verse 17. "Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Notice he hears my voice above the rage and above the storm. He hears my voice. My prayer is not lost in the noise of a noisy world. That's what David is saying. He hears my voice. And it's not hearing my voice in the sense of just words passing through the divine ears. It's hearing my voice in the sense of being attentive to me. I remember when our children were little, especially when Emma was little, she was the first one, and I was a very inexperienced father, and we would be lying asleep at night, and I would hear a noise from her cradle. Maybe she was just sighing. Maybe it was more than that. Was it a whimper? And I would lie in the darkness, listening, just for Emma. That's the sense in David's words. He hears my voice because he is an attentive God. I wonder if you ever reflect on this, that God is the very best listener of all. Sometimes when we're in trouble, emotional trouble, we think that there is absolutely no one who will be able to understand. I can't therefore talk to anyone about this. Or perhaps we feel embarrassed in sharing things with them. Maybe we even feel ashamed, can't cope, at the end of my tether, I'm therefore useless. And how can I speak to anyone about that? Or we're afraid of what others will think of us, and we're afraid they won't even think about us at all. And everything is kept inside. But there is nothing you cannot speak to your God about. I remember a lovely saintly lady who'd fallen into a little time of emotional trouble and felt she couldn't speak to God because she was too guilty. After all the blessings she had received, how could she speak to God about her doubts and her anguish and her fears? Happily she did speak to God, and in him found relief. There is nothing in us, and never shall be, that God cannot understand. You all know the difference between pity and sympathy. I remember being told this in my higher English at Victoria Drive Secondary School. It's just about the only thing I can remember. Pity is feeling sorry for someone, but sympathy is feeling with them and feeling sorry with them. Our God is a listening God, attentive to us, never taken aback by what we say, but always he is a pitying God, but more preciously, he is a sympathetic God. And if you doubt that, think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who walked in darkness, who even cried, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
And he sits at God's right hand, and he is himself God. He is able to feel with us. And that is what David speaks of. I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. So that's the first anchor for David as he cries in the midst of the storm. We can say to ourselves, and I feel I cannot pray about this, that God will understand. And when you really can't pray, go to God and tell him you can't pray. And tell him why you can't pray. And when you do, hold nothing back. For your God is a listening God. And then second anchor is the knowledge that God does not change. He is a God who will be true to himself. He is self-consistent. Verse 19, David says, God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Men who never change their ways and who have no fear of God. But God is the God who is enthroned from old, says David. He is the God who does not change. Though the storm is raging, though all of these voices are causing David grief and anxiety, though he is afraid and filled with horror, his God does not change. God is not a fair-weather friend. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of us sung that when we were young? Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. And so is his Father. The whole psalm begins with an appeal to this unchanging God. I wonder if that opening verse offended me. I remember when it used to offend me. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. That really sounds very impolite, doesn't it? Our prayers are usually very polite. But prayers in the Bible are sometimes very impolite. I used to find that a shocking way to speak to God. Listen to my prayer, O God, and don't you dare ignore me when I'm speaking to you. Abraham prayed impolite prayers. When God was going to judge the wicked people of Sodom. Far be it from you to do such a thing, O Lord, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, God, to behave like this. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And Moses was very impolite. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. And Jeremiah was very impolite. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. And Habakkuk was very impolite. How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you do not answer? We would never dream of speaking to God like that in our prayers, would we? One of the reasons these kind of prayers are recorded is simply to remind us that we can pour out our hearts to Him with nothing hidden and nothing false. David's appeal is urgent and demanding. It's extremely impolite. But God loves those prayers that appeal to His own nature. Those prayers which express His nature. And so Abraham's prayer is, God, you cannot do this, because you are a God of goodness. And Moses is praying, Lord, you cannot do this, for you have chosen this people, and you are a God who is faithful. And what David is doing is he's appealing to who God is. This is your nature, Father. You are the God who does not change. Be true to yourself and save me. And those are the kind of prayers that God loves, because they appeal to His character. God is a listening God, and God does not change, and you can go to Him and plead His promises and plead His covenant, because He's a God who does not change. And the third anchor is the knowledge that this God who does not change is a God who is faithful. And you find that in verse 13, though we are liable to miss it. When David prays, that's not verse 13. It's in verse 22, where David prays, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. It's slightly hidden to us, because that word Lord, which we have in our Bible, and is also there earlier in the psalm, is God's holy name. He is the Lord. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. And the verse I was looking for was 16. I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Why does He use the name, the holy name? Why does He speak of Jehovah, of Yahweh? Because that is God's covenant name, the name by which He binds Himself to His people. I call to God, and Yahweh saves me, because that is His covenant name. He is the faithful one. He is the self-consistent God who is faithful to His people. And if you notice, that's immediately followed by a little dramatic contrast. Verse 16, I call to God, and Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, saves me. Then in verse 20, my companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. I'm in this situation, says David, where I'm surrounded by enemies, and even those I have trusted and my very best of friends have broken their covenant with me. But you are Yahweh, you are Jehovah, You are the covenant-keeping God. And because he's a covenant-keeping God, he will not break his covenant with David. David has an anchor in the storm, and it's the faithfulness of God. And lastly, the fourth anchor is the knowledge that God is trustworthy, because he's the listening God, because he does not change, because he is faithful to his promises. You can trust him. And you can trust him so much, it's almost as if you already have the fulfillment of the promises in your hand. In the midst of the storm, David cries out to God, to Yahweh, to save him. And then he says in verse 18, he ransoms me unharmed from the battle against me, even though many oppose me. David is still in the storm. The enemies are still swirling about him. He's still in great danger. And yet David can say, he ransoms me unharmed. It is a knowledge that God is faithful to his people, and you can trust him. You can trust him as if you already have the fulfillment of those prophecies within your hands. Well, David wants us to discover all of that for ourselves in verse 22. Whatever our troubles are, or whenever our troubles come, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. But he will never let the righteous fall. The word care means something given to us. Cast what the Lord has given to you back on the Lord if it's time of trouble or difficulty or struggle. Give it back to the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And what about the wicked in verse 23? Well, David just says, I leave them to you, God. You deal with them. But as for me, I trust in you. So when the storms come, we have four anchors in the storm. And they're all found in prayer. That God is a listening God. And he is a self-consistent God, a God who is faithful, and a God who is trustworthy, and who will sustain us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. You know our hearts this night, and you know that some of us are struggling with difficult things. And sometimes when the storm is raging, we become afraid and we wonder, do you still care for us? Do you still love us? Heavenly Father, help us to find those anchors, all of which are grounded in your character and in your love. Help us to remember that you listen, that you are faithful to yourself, and because of that you are faithful to us. Help us to remember that in everything we can trust you. You are the God who will sustain us. So Heavenly Father, help us not to be afraid. Amen.
Let's sing together, friends. Take my life, Lord, let it be consecrated, glad and free. Let us pray. Lord, see my goods, my possessions. In my boat you find no power, no wealth. Will you accept then my nets and labor? Lord, take my hands and direct them. Help me spend myself in seeking the lost, returning love for the love you gave me. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my intellect and use every power as you shall choose. God, our Father, we thank you for those who can put into words and fashion music to give the words power that express how we feel before you. And tonight, as we've heard your word, we especially thank you that you are with us in the difficult days, that we can be sure of your presence, the fulfillment of your promises, and your sustenance through even the darkest times. So we pray that you would take our love as we pour at your feet its treasured store. Take ourselves, and we will be all for you eternally. And we pray, Father, that this commitment would be abroad in your church, wherever she is, in whatever circumstances. We pray also that, being faithful, your people will bring a witness to a world in confusion, sometimes convulsed by cruelty and tragedy. And that your people might be a witness in our nation, embracing the eternal truths, and not those that pass away as the morning dew, but those that give health and strength, and not division and prejudice and discord. And help us, Lord, to offer our love to those we know who are going through the darkest times, who need to know your presence and your peace, who need to have people around them who will minister to them, channeling those words of comfort, those actions that reassure. Lord, enable us to answer the call to care. And we do this in the name of Jesus our Lord. And hear us now as we sustain one another in saying his prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We sing, friends, Saviour, again to thy dear name we raise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore.